Well, last week we began, I thought I was going to finish it up last week, but didn't make it. We've been talking about the confession of our mouth. Romans 10:10 says, confession is made unto salvation. Confession is just merely stating the truth, okay? That's what a confession is. If you go to court and you're standing up there and they say, raise your right hand, they're wanting your statement or your declaration of the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So what we end up getting a lot of times is people only think that, well, that confession is only talking about my salvation to being saved, to get into heaven, right? Well, the word salvation just means being saved. Has anybody been needing saved from something? Tax man? Electric man? Well, if you're needing saved from your wife, yeah. But we all need salvation in an area. Do you need healing? Then you need saved from sickness. That's what it's talking about. It doesn't just stop with the salvation of, okay, I got into heaven. Because how many of you know you're alive now? You're here now. You need saved now. You don't need saved on the other side of the pearly gates. You need the salvation here. And so our confession is the declaration of the truth. And as I was laying the ground last week about the Word of God is the only truth. Now, I'm going to state this right now because I do know that I've heard in the 80s there's this rock band called Twisted Sister. Well, we have a doctrine called Twisted Scripture. Okay? People twist Scripture because it's in the Bible. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Yeah, that was spoken by a man who just lost everything and had no real revelation of the Father. Okay? I've never seen anywhere where it says God comes to take it away from good people. Now, I can see in Scripture by evidence that if you're disobedient and you see an army on the rise, you might want to start thinking about how you're living. Israel didn't get hold of that. And so our confession needs to be the Word of God, but it does not necessarily have to be what you see. And pardon me, I have something in my eye that is irritating. It does not have to be, I got it. It does not have to, you don't have to go in the book and say, well, Job said this. Well, David said this and David did that. Do you really want to repeat everything David did? I don't know about you. He did a lot of good, but he wasn't allowed to build the temple because of all the blood he'd shed. Now let's think about that. Oh, well, let's quote Scripture. Let's send Uriah to the hottest part of the battle and get him killed. That's Scripture, but that's what people do. They pull Scripture out, and they say, this is what so-and-so spoke. But that's not what God spoke. We need to focus in on the word that was spoken by God. What did God say? God said, let us create man in our image and let them have dominion. Now I realize God's got his will and God's got his plan. But God gave dominion of the earth to man. Well, this is God's will that we got hurricanes coming in, tornadoes. Do y'all realize that God does not cause that stuff to happen? It's a result of our actions. I mean, seriously. If you're going to run your car without oil, and you hear it giving you the telltale signs, you know, your lifters are chattering and then you hear the rod start to knocking, and all of a sudden he goes, ding, dee, 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 dee. It must have been the will of God that my car blew up. You don't know the will of God. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief does, not God. God is not a thief. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So what we got to do is we've got to re-educate ourselves, or as the Word says, wash our minds. or our heart, they're interchangeable there, to wash that out with the Word of God. And only with the Word of God are you going to get the truth. Well, God gave me this sickness to teach me a lesson. No, you may have learned a lesson, but God didn't give you that sickness. The Bible says God will use anything and everything to the good of those who love Him. The devil came at you with this. God says, well, I'm going to show them something. And they're going to hopefully get the revelation. They don't have to continue living like this. They don't need to. Okay. And again, when it comes to healing, you cannot tell me it's not the will of God. There's too many people sitting here. There's too many people that we know personally that God has healed of life-threatening cancers, and they're gone, totally non-existent. But yet somebody with the same disease, the same stage of cancer, dies because they didn't have faith. They didn't have a revelation of the Word of God. That's what happens. And you've got to get the Holy Spirit in you to get this. We're going to hit this actually today. So I've actually been trying to just recap real quick. So when we get the Word of God in us, the Bible tells us that out of our mouths shall flow rivers of living water. What flows out of our mouth? If we got a lot of water flowing out of our mouth, we've got a problem, right? And as I said that, Mike can feel the... feel the spit building up, and I'm coming over here next to Rob and about to anoint him. But the Bible says, out of our mouths shall flow rivers of living water. It's not talking about we open our mouths and you know, in like some mummy movie, all of a sudden a flood of water comes out. Because when that happens, it's not living water, right? That's what everybody says. Well, it's like a flood. When the Spirit of the Lord will rise up against him and like a flood. No, I just totally misquoted that. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to keep on going because I'm slipping a gear there. We'll raise up a standard. Thank you. I've heard people try to teach that that God comes in like a flood. Now, y'all ever seen a flood do any good? But have you ever seen a standard do good? Do you know what a... See, that's the problem. They don't have a revelation of what a standard is. The standard is the standard. It doesn't change. We now have a standard of what 1 foot equals. It changes. Everything is now measured off of that. So the Lord is the standard. And He stops the flood. Okay? But again, a classic example of twisted scripture. The Lord's going to bring in a flood. No, the Lord's not going to bring in a flood. I heard, and I think I saw this on a t-shirt, or maybe Angela saw it. You know, we've always heard, fight fire with fire, right? What do firemen use? Water. Come on, you'll get it. When the devil starts coming at you, you don't fight him with the same weapons. Come on, we don't fight terrorism with terroristic tactics. And right now, I'm not for certain what's going on. I'm not for certain I agree with everything we're getting our little paws into. I say, put one fire out before you start another. But that's my opinion. But we don't do that. We have to know their tactics. But we have a way to do it that will win. That has proven to win. And God does the same thing. He's got a way that is proven to win. And it's His Word. We get it in us, but we've got to hear it. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing is the Word of God. You've got to hear the Word. Now, I will tell you that there is, and don't take me wrong, don't nobody go misquoting me on this and twisting this. There is one downside to you having the entire Bible every day. You constantly change messages. You're constantly bouncing from one scripture to another. You never let God reveal the truth in that one scripture. Let's go back 150 years when most of you couldn't read. Okay? We'll just be truthful. I'm from the mountains. Most of them, they just put an X on their paper. Probably not the smartest thing to ever do. You need to be able to read. But they didn't have the Bible. So when they came to church, they got the word. And they hopefully went home and they constantly chewed on that word. And do you know a cow will stand there and it will chew that cud and chew that cud and just keeps chewing it and chewing it, swallows it, regurgitates it back and re-chews it and chews it and gets more. Yeah, I know. I'm talking all kinds of gross stuff today. But that's what it does. It continues to get all of the nourishment out of that. We look at it and think, how many times can you chew it? But that cow keeps doing it and bringing all the nutrients into its body so that it can produce that milk. That's what you need to do. You need to, listen, you can get up and read, and I know people, I want to read a whole book. Listen, that's fine, but I'm going to challenge you something. You want to really get to know God? Read just that passage pertaining to what you are reading, and then think about that day in and day out. You don't have to have 10 scriptures to memorize. Chew on it, chew on it, chew on it, chew on it, chew on it. And you'll be surprised at what God reveals to you about Himself. We want quantity instead of quality. That's what we want. I would rather have the quality and have just a little, and I got good stuff, then all kinds, you know, okay, it's like, do I have a Rolls Royce or do I have a whole fleet of Yugos? They will both do the same thing, will they not? Right, they'll get you from point A to point B. Which one are you more likely to get killed in? Probably, I guarantee the Yugos. You don't understand how those Rolls Royces are built. They weigh 8,000 pounds. A full-size pickup truck weighs 4,400. If you got a bad back, which one do you want to be riding in? The Yugo or the Rolls Royce that has a Lazy Boy for a driver's seat? You following me? You got quality versus quantity. Oh, you could probably buy half of the Yugos that were ever made for the price of one Rolls Royce. But you're going to have a car that's still around, that has value, it's recognizable. What about the Word of God? When we got messages running around that are twisted, we're trying to feed the masses on something instead of giving them quality. Something that took time to learn it, to build it. It's got to become a revelation. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Like I said, we're about to get into this. I'm kind of recapping, but I know we're getting some new territory here. But we've got to get that word in us and chew it up. Paul and those other disciples, they did not have these books like we have. This is a blessing that we have. But they did not have this all the time. They couldn't even go in to see the Old Testament, or what we call the Old Testament, the Torah. They could not go in to read the law on their own. You don't understand. It was not something that, oh, we'll just go down to the library, we'll pull up a copy of the Bible, and we'll look and see what it says. It was not accessible. You had to go through a priest to get to it. And it was only if he liked you. But you also had to prove yourself. You'd had to have proved yourself first before they'd even let you read it. So, in order for us to be able to have the positive, since I said that, I do have to hit this. When we talk about confession, everybody says, well, I've got to have a positive confession, right? That's what we keep hearing. Positive thinking, Pastor. I'm thinking positive about this situation. Well, that's all great and dandy, but let me tell you what. Positive thinking is not faith. It is not faith, and it's not going to move the hand of God. Because if positive thinking were faith, I would have just breezed right on down 71 when I bypassed the detour. By the way, the detour is the way I went into Kentucky on Monday. Because I'm like, I hate driving down. I don't know about y'all, but I do not like driving downtown Cincinnati for some reason. There's always construction. There's always a traffic jam in that little tunnel. I'm like, why? And then you're in the tunnel and you're cooking. But if I had listened first off to my heart, and I believe it was the Lord telling me, go the way you came, Mark. Don't go the way you want to go. You know, because in my mind I had it all broke down. This is how it's going to work out. It's Saturday afternoon. There ain't no downtown traffic. And there wasn't. They didn't tell me about the traffic jam that was going to be on the other side of the river. And when you have three lanes of traffic going down into one, I got a picture. You know how you're driving down the road and they say speed limit, and then they got those little radars that are shooting the instant. It says your speed. Do you ever see it say 00? I have. It's not a good feeling. Not when you have to turn your air conditioner off because your car is starting to overheat. And we weren't the only ones. But anyhow, so optimism is not faith. That's not what we're talking about. Yes, you do need to, but you need to get into the Word of God and keep your faith, your optimism based on that. Now, oh, I'm optimistic about this. Well, that's great. I'm an optimist. You can ask Angela. She said, you want to do something? Hey, yeah, let's do it. Do you know how to do it? No, I ain't got a clue. I don't know how to trout fish. I just went down and, you know, I think JD was asking me about fly fishing. I tried it. I was getting a hang of it because I actually found some flies, some fishing flies that guys had lost in the trees. I'm standing there like, oh, wow. Stick that in my pocket. Well, I ain't getting nothing on these salmon eggs. Let's tie a fly to it and see if I can. I've learned one thing. I know why they don't have extra pole behind a reel on a fishing fly, on a fly fishing pole, because your string gets wrapped around it. So optimism is a great thing to have. You've got to be optimistic. Because if you're a pessimist, boy, your outlook has got to be a bummer. We're talking Eeyore syndrome here, folks. Yeah, that's what I expected. Well, that's what you've been expected. That's what you're going to get. You need to get out of that. Because that's not, God is not a pessimist. He is an optimist. You know how I know? Because John 3:16 tells us he's a pessimist or an optimist. That whosoever would believe. He threw it out there. All right. Let's go to John. Open your Bibles this morning now to John chapter 8. You know, believe it or not, the Bible actually speaks an awful lot about speech. It really does. I mean, come on. You do realize you're sitting here because of words. You may have been, you yourself may have been created because of the right words. You understand what I'm saying? Not trying to be gross, just telling you the truth. Romans chapter 8. We'll go to verse 38. These are the words of Jesus. Actually, back it up to 37. Romans 8, 37. I'm sorry, John. I messed everybody up, didn't I? I looked down at the top of my notes, and that's the first one on my notes, but I'm down here now. John chapter 8, verse 37. We all there now? All right. He said, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. He's talking about word. My speech, my words have no place in you. They are not finding a home in you. And if you really were of my father, they would be finding a home in you. You are merely Abraham's descendants, but you are not of my father, is what he's trying to tell them. Verse 38, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. Right? Jesus is saying, I speak what I've seen my Father do. In other words, everything that he spoke came straight from the Father because he's already seen God do it. So what is he speaking? Lord, if it is your will, heal me. So he healed. He came down and he told us about worrying about the things of life. What you gonna drink? What you gonna eat? What you gonna wear? Where you gonna live? He said, the Gentiles seek the same things and your heavenly Father knows. Your Father knows. May I remind you, he's not speaking on his own authority. That's what John, further down in John tells us. I'm not speaking on my own authority, but what the Father has already told me. And God's already told me, he said, Richard, I've already seen what you need. I already know the desires. I already know the things that you've got to have. And I'm going to provide them. That's what he says. And that's what Jesus was telling us. He already knew the hearts of men were coming out and saying, well, God takes things away from me to teach me a lesson. Your car blew up because you didn't put oil in it. You do understand that. Your tires are going to wear out. That's all there is to it. Unless you have fallen into the wilderness blessing that your shoes don't wear out, your tires are going to wear out. Your shoes are going to wear out. Well, I don't want my tires to wear out. I don't want my shoes. Bless God, I just want to buy one set and never have to buy it. Well, how's somebody else going to get blessed? How's the guy at the tire shop going to get blessed? How's the person at the shoe store going to be blessed? I don't want to buy shoes. I don't want to buy clothes. I mean, come on, guys. I know what I'm talking about here. We will wear the same pair of pants out until our butts are shining through them. We wear our clothes out. I know. So what if you could see my boxers? At least, never mind. But you understand, we get that syndrome because we think, well, this is being a frugal. No, bless the person at the store. Buy the new pair of jeans. It's not going to kill you. I can testify to a fact that you can wear one pair of blue jeans if you wash them regularly. That's all I used to buy, one pair of blue jeans. And then I'd retire the old pair and then just keep washing them. The old pair usually would last 3 or 4 years. And the other pair would go a year before they really started fading. And then I'd just rotate them. Get them out of my cycle, and then I'd have 2 pair of work jeans and 1 good. But it's not going to hurt you if you got to buy another pair of shoes. You got to buy a pair of tires? Go buy some tires. That's all there is to it. Well, I don't want to go buy oil. It's $2 a quart. I pay $9. Ooh, I ain't putting junk in my truck anymore. Because beyond it, you know, I changed my oil the other day. My little light keeps coming on. I think it monitors miles because I put synthetic in there. And I know Bob says, I change oil once a year. He said, that's it. And I took the plug out of my oil the other day, and it's in, I'd really like to take some of these engineers and make them mechanics for a day. All right, you designed this. You changed the oil on this. I can't even see the oil filter in the plug. And as I took the oil out, the oil ran down my arm. Now, I was a diesel mechanic, okay? Anytime oil ran down your arm, it's black, it's nasty, and it stains your skin. And if you've run your car 5,000 miles on oil, it's going to be dirty, right? I took that out and just wiped it off, and you couldn't even tell. The oil was still clean. I didn't tell you that. I told you why I pay $9 a quart for oil. Besides that, you get a better deal if you buy the big jug. Anyhow, my truck just happens to require 6 quarts, and the jugs are 5. Yeah, go figure. Like, man, I just paid more, almost as much for that one quart as I did for the five quarts. But anyhow, that had nothing to do with anything. Yeah, it was just a little bonus. So Jesus is telling us in John, he said, I'm only speaking what I've heard my Father already state. I'm only going to do what I've already seen my Father do. He says, you, however, you are acting just like your Father. He wasn't referring to Abraham. As a matter of fact, in verse 41, he tells them again, you do the deeds of your father. But 44, he identifies their father. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth. He does not stand in the truth. Remember, folks, the truth never moves. It does not wave. It doesn't shake. The truth is solid. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. The devil just speaks lies. I'm going to tell you another lie, and this is another thing about faith. I can't remember who I heard actually teach this, but I heard it. They taught that if you've got a sickness, you just deny the sickness. I do not have cancer. I'm sorry, folks, that's a lie. You got this growth on the side of your neck. I do not have it. Well, it's there. I can see it. The doctor can see it. NASA can probably see it. And you're denying it. So what are you speaking now? You're speaking a lie. You're not speaking the truth. Faith does not call those things that are as though they aren't. It calls those things that aren't as though they are. I'm not healed right now, but my faith says I am healed by His stripes. That's what faith says. But we've gotten it all turned around because people want to try to soften it up and break it down for people that don't have the Holy Spirit. You cannot understand the Father without the Holy Spirit. I'm going to prove it to you by the Word of God. You will not understand. All you will ever have is a first grade education of God the Father. You will never graduate. You're not going to get it because the Holy Spirit's the only one who can reveal the Father. He is the Spirit of the Father. He is the essence of the Father living in us. Who else better to show us? I mean, seriously. I mean, if I want to drive NASCAR, and I could have Richard Petty teach me and show me, or I can have J.D. J.D.'s been to a NASCAR race. He's been to a race. Been to the race. Oh, I know. I'm sure I can figure it out too. But I think I want to listen to the man who's got the trophies. And when they asked him, he said, when are you ever going to give up racing? He probably says never. Obviously he did. But he wanted to win. The man knew how to win. The man knew race cars. He knew NASCAR. So if I want to know about God, whoops. Okay, what has it been, 5 years? If I want to know about God the Father, who do I want to listen to? A man who's got a college degree in theology or the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit any day. Because the man with the college degree has already said there probably isn't a God like we think. That's what they're coming out with. And you got some little goofball in a wheelchair now who's so supposedly so smart I don't remember his name. You've probably seen his picture. He denies that there's a God and all this stuff, and he's written books. I can't remember his name, but like I say, he's supposedly so smart. And he's still in the wheelchair. Heal thyself, physician. You're not going to ever get healed because you don't know you do not know the God who said, by my stripes, you are healed. That's what we've got going on today. We got people that they got this degree. Degrees are great, but give me experience any day. Any day of the week. You've got to show some experience somewhere. Because I will tell you right now, I don't remember who we was talking about. We was talking about business professors. Anybody that's ever gone to college for business, ask your professor how much time he spent in the business world. How many businesses he owned, he or she. You know what you will find out? The majority of business professors come straight out of college into teaching. They have a theory. That theory doesn't involve customers who leave. It just talks about numbers, and that's great. But I would rather talk to somebody like Sam Walton, Walt Disney, people who were told you can't do it because you ain't smart enough. They're multi-millionaires. Unfortunately, Sam's children, I ain't for certain what happened. I think they rolled out of bed and fell out on the wrong side. Did you know what? Let me just state this. You know what Sam's favorite thing was? How many of you remember? I remember the first Walmart I went into. There was a slogan that was stamped on just about everything. Made in the USA. Go into Walmart now. He understood some things about business. Where are we at, folks? Our economy's fighting to come back. But yet we've got people that think they know about business. Well, make all them people work at Walmart. Well, who's going to make the stuff? Oh, we'll send it over to China. Let's keep outsourcing everything. I say bring all, if you're an American car company, you make the whole car here. Just an opinion. I mean, seriously, I ain't got nothing against exotic cars. Some of my favorite cars are made in Italy, England, Germany. They're great cars. But how about we put it back here? Yeah, how about we export a few more of them? Trust me, you don't see too many American cars overseas. They actually have their own design. So now, we see that Jesus is saying, I only speak what I've seen my Father speak and say and do. Okay? Now go over to John 16. Go to verse 13. Told you he was going to talk about this and he was going to prove it. Verse 16, 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, remember, the truth is, let me see, I wrote it down here. The truth is reality. Unveiled reality lying at the basis of and agreeing with an appearance or a manifestation. Or you could put a revelation. It's the facts backing up what you're seeing. Okay? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He's going to guide you into all truth. In other words, there's more truth. Have we not seen by the fact that knowledge just keeps growing? I mean, good night. We can sit here with a telescope and we can see how far away? I have no idea. It blows my mind to think about it. I mean, seriously, you think of how many millions of miles, when they have to measure it in a light year, that's a long ride. And we can now see that. We got these awesome pictures of space now. I remember as a kid, the only picture you had of space was taken from the ground. Of the moon, and a couple stars. They didn't have pictures of Saturn. They knew what they looked like, so somebody would draw it. Now we've got pictures of things that are just awesome. They're not black and white pictures. They're showing that there's color in space. Go figure. Where there's light, there's color. We found out that our sun is a tiny star in comparison to some that are further away. And when I say tiny, I mean, like, okay, here's our sun, and my head's the other one. I'm just giving you an experience, not saying my head's that big. So all truth, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And you know what happens, ladies and gentlemen? Every time they pull another picture back of things happening, it's just more revelation of a manifestation of what we already know, of what's here right now. It just screams, there is a God. Every time that you see something come across, I will challenge you, if you get something on the internet, email, run it through Snopes. Back it up, check it up. So many things are a hoax now. But when you see that a child can live through an abortion, survive an abortion, don't tell me that life just happens. Life is screaming to thrive. And that does not come by accident. That comes from a loving God who is life. Now, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Now, let's fix this right now. The Holy Spirit doesn't come down to tell us the future. That's what everybody... I'm serious, and I know some of you know have been here. If we wanted to pack this service out, you know how we could do it? We'd have to tear these walls out because there wouldn't be enough room to hold them. All I got to do is say, Prophet so-and-so will tell you your future. And this place will be packed every night because people want to know the future. Come on, Bill Clinton did it. Did anybody forget that? He consulted a fortune teller. King Saul did it. They wanted to know the future. People want to know the future, but the Holy Spirit is not here to be your little play toy. So, I can know whether or not this is going to happen or not. I believe God gives you revelations and He confirms something in you. And I've seen things, but usually in a dream. And dreams are kind of, you got to interpret them. And not every dream is of God. I had a dream. Listen, I've had a lot of dreams, and I woke up thinking God that I had been asleep. Although I'm like Joshua, there's been several dreams I woke up from like, no, I'm back in reality. Where did that awesome motorcycle go? I got in the garage and like, it ain't there. Joshua, man, I had a dream about this awesome truck. He says, I woke up and I realized it wasn't there. But the Holy Spirit is only going to speak to you what He's hearing from the Father. Okay? You're not going to hear the Holy Spirit telling you His own theories. He's only going to tell you straight from the Father's mouth. But here's the problem, folks. You've got to remember, the Holy Spirit does not scream. He doesn't yell. He doesn't jump around, wave His arms. He's a still, small voice. In other words, He's calm. He doesn't get excited when you're all frantic. Has anybody ever noticed that being frantic doesn't move the hand of God in your life? It doesn't happen. Disciples come down, wake Jesus up in the middle of a storm. He was sleeping. He knew nothing was going to happen. And I believe the only reason he calmed the storm was just so he could go back and get some more shut-eye. He's like, for crying out loud, you faithless people. How long do I have to be your faith? That's what he was telling them. Here, let's go up here, jump up to verse 12. I still have many things to say to you. Jesus had many things yet that the Father wanted to say to the people. But you cannot bear them now. They did not have everything they needed. They couldn't handle the truth. That's all it was. They couldn't handle it because they didn't have the right foundation. A lot of people do not know that you cannot just go build on top of a single-story house. It's got to have the right foundation under it. If it doesn't have the foundation to support two stories, you're in trouble. You have to beef up the foundation to support that. The greater the weight, the stronger the foundation has to be. You know, I don't think people realize how much of a skyscraper is actually in the ground. Has anybody ever seen them drive those pylons down? I remember when I left Okinawa, they told us they were going to build... When I got there, they told us, we're going to build you new barracks. You know, and I realized real quick, thank God they were building new barracks. They had just opened our barracks up. They had been condemned. The alarms were constantly going off. The heat was constantly going out. And I realized it was a tropical island, but in the winter, it gets cold. And I remember standing out there when they broke the ground over there. And they brought in these big machines and they start driving these pylons straight into the ground. I mean, straight into coral. It's solid rock. And they're driving these things down through there. And we're just out there listening to them. Toom, toom. There was as much of that foundation below the ground as there was up to hold it, to support it. And Jesus is telling you're only going to go so far based on how deep you go. And you've got to have the Holy Spirit in order to go deeper. But see, and that's what we all think, oh, we got to go deeper, deeper. Yeah, you got to go deeper, but a tree doesn't grow deep. It grows this way. There's as many roots on a tree down below as there are branches up above. They've got to support it. That's why you will usually see pine trees, because pine trees grow straight and they don't grow real wide. But you find a big oak out in the middle of a field that just keeps standing and standing and standing through every storm you can throw at it, you will see a tree that has got a root ball just about as big as what it's got a top, because it's holding on. It can hold on to what it's got to have. Again, Jesus referred to faith as a mustard seed, right? And he said, it's got to grow. But you're only going to be able to grow with the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. But somewhere in the 70s and the 80s, the Pentecostal movement kind of went out into the left field. And we started focusing on goofy things instead of the Word of God. We started glorifying the things. We started glorifying everything but God. And the Holy Spirit's purpose is to glorify Jesus. He says that, right? Right in verse 14, he said, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it. How do you declare something? Now, here's how you declare, and this is how I believe. He presents it. If you've ever been out of the country and you come in back into customs, they will ask you one question. Do you have anything to declare? Typically, your answer is going to be no. Even if you've got a few little things in your bag. That's not what they're looking for. Do you have cash in excess of $10,000? You will declare that. Let's play on that right now. There's a value. You only declare the things of great value. You understanding? You go overseas, you declare cash over $10,000. Because they don't consider $10,000 and below to be of great value. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will declare to us. He's only going to declare the things of value to us. The things that are beneficial to us. Now remember, we are talking about confession here. What are we supposed to be speaking? What are we supposed to be doing? I want to jump back to chapter 14. We're still in the book of John. Go back a couple pages. Go to verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We know this to be the truth. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. He's still not getting it, folks. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is telling him, I'm a chip off the old block. You're looking at the Father. You want to see the Father? Look at His sons. I think God did this on purpose. I have three sons. They all look a little different. They all act a little different. They all have different strong suits and weak suits. But they all reflect me. Things in them reflect me. Now, things reflect in their mother as well. But there are a lot of things they reflect, come back and reflect me in. Some of them I'm thinking, dear God, I thought that had died. But they are that proverbial chip off the old block. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you've seen me, you want to know the Father, then know me. How do you get to know the Word? What do you do with words? You read them, and then you speak them. Okay? Let me carry on. Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Just believe me for the sake of the works. You don't have to believe this yet, just believe because of the works that you're seeing. Jesus was doing things because he saw the Father doing them. Now, Matthew 7. Go to verse 7. It's kind of a familiar passage. If not, if you don't know it verbatim, I promise you have heard it. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to him who asks? Did you get that? He just revealed the Father, folks. He just revealed your heavenly Father. We being evil know how to treat our children right, correct? Now there, I know there are a few people that have some serious issues. But typically, even an evil man knows how to treat his children. Osama bin Laden, he had sons. Gaddafi, he's got sons. You know where they live? Palaces. He's an evil man, and he knows how to treat his children. They want a car. They come up to him, 16, Dad, I want a car. Does he hand him a Yugo? No. He gives them a Rolls. He gives them something of quality and of standing, and something that's going to hold its value a whole lot better than a Yugo. How many of you know what a Yugo is? How many of you don't know what Yugos are? Oy vey. Holy smokes, man. For those of you who don't know what a Yugo is, it was a tiny little car made in Yugoslavia. It was the worst piece of junk that ever came out. One of them. When Kia came out, they thought they had, or Hyundai, it was Hyundai came out originally. They thought that they had an equivalent to Yugo, but Hyundai stepped it up. Yugo, however, went out of business and still sell cars in Europe. So, you know, if there's ever a battle between the United States and Europe again, we just tell them to drive their cars into battle. And they got some serious junkers over there. But anyhow, it was a piece of junk. You can't even find them in the junkyards anymore. We've destroyed them from the face of the planet. I think we may have a matchbox somewhere. They weren't really much bigger than a matchbox. Anyhow. So Jesus is showing us now, revealing to us the heart of the Father. And he's saying, your Father's not going to give you a serpent if you ask for fish. You ask for bread, he's not going to give you a rock. He wants to give you good things. So when you ask for things, yeah, your heart might, you might only be to a certain level in your belief. Believe for that and then thank God for that, but don't just stop there. And I say that because I know a lot of people aren't ready for a Rolls Royce. I don't think I'm ready for a Rolls Royce, although I know they ride a whole lot. And they really do. I got in one time, and it sat. You sit down in the seat as if you were at a table. You don't sit down and lay down and drive. You sit. Just like you were sitting at a table in that seat, even though that car was older than me, that seat was so comfortable. And I just sat there. And I thought, who in their right mind leaves a Rolls Royce unlocked in Columbus? Did I fail to mention it wasn't? Yeah, it was at the toy barn. They left a Ferrari open too. What can I say? I didn't, and a Lotus. They left the Lotus open too. Ferraris are hard seats. You might as well sit on plastic seats and drive a car. But oh, how you look going down the road. My butt's killing me, but boy, I look good. So, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. That's not where I wanted to go. I think I'll get to it here in a minute. Jesus also tells us, whatever you ask the Father in my name. Now come on, let's stop and start thinking about it. Whatever you ask the Father according to my word. Does God care about what you're driving? I think he does. I really do. Does God care about your house? Now listen, if you're already living in a nice house, and this is my only problem with prosperity message. If you're living in a nice house, why keep pushing it? I want a nice house. I do. I want lots of land. But if it's going to take me away from what I'm supposed to be doing and become a stumbling block, then it's not doing me any good. Now, like I said, that's my opinion. And so there's probably some preachers out there, well, Pastor, that's why you're never going to have. Well, you know what? I'd rather just walk right on into heaven in the clothes I've got than get up there and him say, you know what? I gave you this stuff. and you abused it. God will give you good things. But I think he expects us to be responsible as well. What good does it do me if I keep telling you, okay, keep coming in here, sowing seed, sowing seed, sowing seed, and then I'm living in a really nice big house and you guys are living in trailers? Does anybody see a problem with that? Because this shepherd sure does. I sure see a problem. Now listen, if the church has got 10,000 members and I live in a nice house, that's a whole different story.
Well, I don't know about that, Pastor.
You try to take care of 10,000 people, you're going to have armed guards at your gate, I promise you. But the people, the sheep, should be prospering. God didn't have a problem with that. If you're not preaching the right message, you're not doing the right thing, you ain't got no business prospering. I heard one preacher who wanted to take up an offering because his kid was in college and had his credit card. I sat there, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I did not just hear you say that. First off, tell your kid that credit card's been canceled to go get a job. Ain't nothing wrong with kids getting a job. How else are they going to get the experience? How many of you have ever gone to a job? I mean, most of you remember, you got out of school, you know, didn't matter if you got a high school, college, whatever, and you went and applied for a job, and what did they tell you? We like you, kid, but you don't have experience. I keep looking in the paper, you know, I always, just when I read the paper and stuff, and I look under jobs and it says, for like CDLs, 2 years minimum experience. How's a guy going to get 2 years minimum experience if nobody's going to give him a job? He's going to have to lie about it. You can join the military. That's my, listen, you get experience. You get real life experience. I got out, they said, have you worked as a mechanic? I said, yeah, for the last 4 years. And I've taught people how to do it too. Now, let's turn over Matthew chapter 15. This is where I want to get to. I want to show you something. I want to really, really show you the heart of God. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. She recognized who Jesus was. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now there is a difference, and Jesus knew it, between being demon-possessed and being sick. Okay? But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us now. Would you send her away? She's bothering us now. Come on, deal with it, Jesus. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who he was sent to. Then she came and worshipped him and saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. This is a father looking out for his children, correct? How many of you would take bread off of your children's plate and give it to the dog when your child is starving and needing it? If there is, I would like to meet you out back. Me and my right foot have a meeting with your head. Because you're not thinking as a father. Oh, I love my animals. So do I. They're tasty. That's just all I got to say about it. I belong to PETA. People eating tasty animals. As Pat and I say during gun season, if it's brown, it's down. But he's telling us now, you don't take the bread from the children and give it to the dogs. Now, he's also showing us how the Jews felt about these people. But I'm telling you, you're going to see the true heart of God here in a second. And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." He was not moved by the whining, was not moved by the possibly fake worship. Come on, she was a woman of Canaan. Yeah, she knew who he was, but she typically did not worship Jehovah. He was moved by her faith and her persistence. He said, "Keep asking, keep knocking. Keep asking, keep knocking. Keep asking, keep knocking. Your faith is what will move it." Whining, I have yet to... Whining doesn't move anything. Yeah, if my boys want me to do something, coming to me, coming and bringing accusations against me, "You never spend time with me. You will never do this for me. You always do that for them." That doesn't move me. Matter of fact, it kind of rubs the other side. But coming and loving me and doing what I ask, that moves. That's what moves me. It's what moves God. Faith. She spoke the right words. She kept going in. Her confession did not stop. She knew only a very little word. How much word do we have, folks? You have the Holy Spirit. If you've asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've got the Holy Spirit. You've got to let Him have more control. Open up and let Him... You've got to get in the Word, for starters. You've got to get in the Word. Can't emphasize that enough. If you can't be around the man, what's the next best way to learn about him? Read their biography. You've got his biography there. Read about Jesus. He said, "I'm just a reflection of the Father. I'm only seeing what I've seen my Father do. I've seen my Father provide." Did he not provide for Peter and himself? He provided for their taxes. So yes, God cares about your everyday needs. You got 5,000 men following you. And they're listening. They've been listening to every word you've spoken that day. And I mean all day long. They followed you from hillside to hillside. And now you're out in the country because you've been actually trying to walk away, trying to get away from them. And they keep following you because they're hungry for the Word. And now they're physically hungry, and the disciples can see this. Instead of sending them away, Jesus tells his disciples, "Feed them." And he performs a miracle. Why? Because he's seen his Father do it. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit at this time. He was getting straight word from God of what to do. How do you think he knew how to fill the water vats? Those water jugs weren't filled with wine. They were filled with water. He's blessed it and he said, "Now take a glass of it up there to the master of ceremonies." He tasted and he said, "Man," he said, "you, most people wait till we're all drunk. We get a little bit of the good wine and then they start feeding us this rotten stuff." He said, "You gave us good stuff in the beginning and now that all the wine's gone, you're bringing out the better stuff." God doesn't do anything cheap, folks. I mean, come on. We get all upset with, "Oh, I think the church ought to be just a country little church and it ought to just, you know, no air conditioning." I'm sorry, I'm way past that stuff. I want the parking lot paved. Okay? I want the buildings connected. I want them to look like one building. Anybody got anything against that? I want them the same color. We're going to put air conditioning in that next building. We got it. We're going to get to working on it. And all the Super Kids Academy teachers say, praise the Lord. It's a heater too. But we've got to understand, when God, the tent, the tabernacle tent that traveled, I don't think we look at it and say, well, badger skins and hides. Do you realize how valuable those were? Purple dyes. They didn't have purple dye. We want something purple. We just go down. You're in the town for purple. Everything's purple. God didn't do it cheap. He had piles of gold, piles of silver. Come on. Seriously. I want to show you just, that some of y'all, that might be a real fancy glass. I think we paid $1 for it at Dollar General or someplace. Glass. In the temple, the priests drank out of solid gold. You stop and think about how much a glass like this would weigh at $1,000 an ounce. $1,500 now? You got any fillings? I think I can stick some Bondo up in there. Unfortunately, I don't have any gold fillings. Think about that, though. That's the God you serve. That's your Father. He doesn't do things cheaply. We're talking that there were cedars. They call them the cedars of Lebanon. They ain't there no more because they all got cut down. Solomon saw to that. He said, wow, they're good enough for the temple. I'm going to build a whole house out of them. God's not a cheap God. He cares about your needs. He cares about your desires. But you've got to speak the word, and you've got to be obedient. God didn't do any miracle for me on 71 because I disobeyed and didn't go down to 75. So you know what Art got to do? Well, I told you what Art got to do. Art got to set in the 85 degree temperatures for 2.5 hours. It was almost 2.5. That's what Art got to do. We'd been home at 7 o'clock. As it was, looked like it was going to rain, so we're trying to get clothes out of the trailer and stuff put away. God didn't perform a miracle. All he asked for was obedience. But he also didn't let it rain on me. We got the front half of the yard mowed. Yeah, it's mercy. Have mercy. Yes, he is. He's an awesome daddy. Amen. Let's stand. And if you don't have this Holy Spirit living in you, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's real simple. You just ask. Just ask. Say, Lord, fill me. I could come spit on you if you want. In fact, make you feel better. Make you feel like you got anointed. I could come push your head and you come over here and I'll just guide you around like a puppet. But that's not what I've seen in the Bible. I have seen where Jesus breathed and the Holy Spirit came. But typically, I see where people asked for the Holy Spirit and He came. And you're only going to get, again, the revelation of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. It's not going to come. And you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it. Reveal who God is to you. You keep seeing Him as a mean God sitting up there with our lives in His hand and He's just thumping whoever He wants to. You're not seeing the same God I'm seeing. You got to remember he's a father. First and foremost, he's a father. I love and respect my father. You know, when I was living at home, I knew I'd better obey. If I crossed him, there's going to be some consequences. Something was either going to happen or something wasn't going to happen, if you understand what I'm saying. My boys are the same way. They know. I mess up. And now, listen, if you're ignorant of something, that's one thing. But when you totally disobey, totally different deal. God says, I just want you to obey. I'm just asking you to do what I've asked you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. God called you to be in China spreading the gospel. Why are you here? It's just all there is to it. Maybe God's got something in the county he wants you to do. You know where I stand. God didn't call the preachers to go out and do all the work. He called us all. But the mentality that we have today is, well, if the church, the organization isn't doing it, we ain't doing it. And if we're going to do it, then we've got to be a church. That's not the way it should be. So I hope that you get the word in you. You start speaking the word forth of what God says. You still believing for a godly spouse? Well, speak it forth. God wants you to have a godly husband or wife. I think he's really tired of his people being jerked around. I know I would be. I've already told my boys, I said, listen, don't go messing around just dating every girl that comes along. Wait for a good one. It's cheaper. Especially when you're trying to build a four-wheel drive truck. And I'm going to shut up. Get some of these young guys in trouble here. Seen Michelle giving Matt the eyeball. Joshua, he's over there looking at me and saying, Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are a good Father and that you do love us and that you care about us, that you're concerned about every little thing that's concerning us. And we know that when we speak forth your word and are obedient, that you will move. Lord, I thank you that your word says that I am healed. Your word says that you will take care of what I need to wear, what I need to eat, or where I need to sleep. Father, help us all to get your word in us to know you and to speak forth your word into this world that it may know you. Now, Father, we know that your word will bring conviction to some and joy to others. Help us not to be discouraged by that. Father, I pray for your people here today. I pray that you bless them going in, bless them going out, bless the work of their hands, Father. Cause all that they do to prosper for good. In Jesus' name, amen.